Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Hey. We find ourselves on the top of Lamed Lamed Beis. We're starting with the word Tanur Rabbanan. It's about a quarter of the way down. We are continuing our discussion regarding Shofar, specifically within the Tefillah of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Tanur Rabbanan, the Brisa begins, Tekios Ein Ma'akvot Zuazu. Brachos Ein Ma'akvot Zuazu. As far as Tekios and Brachos are concerned, they're not Ma'akiv. That means to say that they're not essential. Now, in just a moment, we're going to all learn together. This is not referring to the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, nor is it referring to the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. As we already spent a considerable amount of time discussing, those are critical. Every one of the tekiyos on Rosh Hashanah is critical, meaning of the nine, and nowadays of the 30, and as we discussed briefly yesterday, there's more than 30, but still, we know we have already the basic idea that each one of the tekiyos of Rosh Hashanah are significant. The Brice in the beginning is not talking about the Tekiyos of Rosh Hashanah. We also know that the Tekiyos of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah also is really significant. Ma'achas is Zichronos V'Shofars are significant. The Gemara in a moment is just going to tell us. So when the Brice opens up over here and it says that both the Tekiyos and the Brachas are not significant, they're not essential. So what's meant by that is that we're talking about the Tekiyos and the Brachas that are done on a Tandis, on a fast day. So over the course of this parak, we touched on it a couple of times, that there was a sound that was blown on a fast day. It was not done with the shofar, it was done with the chatzotzos. But nevertheless, the tekiyah was done also, something we're going to be discussing when we start Masechta Tanis, and that, of course, is that there's an extra series of brachas that are said in the Shemoneh Esrei. So what we're learning now together in our brisa is that despite the fact that there are shofar blasts and additional brachas that are said in the Shemoneh Esrei of Atanis, they are not Me'akev. However, Tekiyos Brachos of Rosh Hashanah, but when it comes to the Tekiyos and the Brachos of Rosh Hashanah, V'shal Yom Kippurim, and also Yom Kippur, presumably here we're talking about Yom Kippur V'Yovel, so then Me'akvos, it becomes essential, and it becomes critical that we do each one of the Tekiyos and each one of the Brachos, my time on. Gemara over here gives an explanation, Amar Rabba, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yimu Lefanai, B'Rosh Hashanah. Machios Zichronos V'Shofros. Kadosh Baruch Hu told us that we have to say the three components of the special Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf. Machios Kadesh Tam Lechun Alechem. Machios so that we coordinate a Kadosh Baruch Hu Zichronos. Kadesh Yavu Lefnei Zichronom Latova. Zichronos helps us be remembered by a Kadosh Baruch Hu Vameh. And how are we going to be remembered? B'Shofar, that's with the blowing of the Shofar. Gemara's language over here certainly gives us the impression that the Machut Zichronos Shofros is a din de oraisa. The Gemara's lashon is Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said. Of course, it only begs the obvious question: where did Hakadosh Baruch Hu say this? Where exactly has it been made clear that this is a din de oraisa that we have to be davening a special musaf on Rosh Hashanah? In fact, we know that the nusach haTefillah is a din de rabbanan. Yes, machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban whether davening is a oraisa or the rabbanan. But as far as the nusach haTefillah is concerned, so according to everybody, it's a din d'rabbanan. So how exactly do you understand our Gemara when our Gemara says that Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that this is what you're supposed to be doing, you're supposed to be saying the special Shemoneh Esrei, so that obviously demands a specific explanation. We're going to go on in the Gemara. I've heard a couple of suggestions, but we're going to go on in the meantime. Mishabirach v'achakach nisnan lo shofar. Gemara now picking up on the next part of the Mishnah, which is that you davened, and then only afterwards you came across the shofar. So tekeh maria v'tokeya, so you blow a shofar afterwards. Time of the lo habalei shofar mi'ikara. Gemara now makes what seems to be a pretty straightforward observation, that is that in the event that I didn't have a shofar, then we're going to be blowing shofar after Shemoneh Esrei. A habalei shofar, but if in fact you had a shofar mi'ikara, kishama lehu, So when should you be blowing the shofar? Aseder brachos shamalu. So you're doing it within the Shemoneh Esrei. Again, it seems to be a pretty straightforward point and something seemingly we would have known already before the Mishnah and the Gemara made the diak in the Mishnah. But still, the Gemara wants to focus and emphasize the fact that the blowing of the shofar needs to be done within the Shemoneh Esrei. Rav Papa Parshmo Kamlet Tzuluye. Rav Papa gets up to daven. Amar Lo Shami says to his attendant, Ki Neher Nalach. So when I, probably means when I snort at you. So, but in other words, when I signal to you. So Tikali, so what I want you to do is blow shofar for me. Amale Rava lo amar ala bechever ear. So Rava says to him, meaning to Rav Papa, The requirement to blow shofar is only bechavir. That's only when you're doing it within the tzibur. If you're davening beachidus, if you're davening only by yourself, meaning without a minion, so then there is no requirement to be blowing shofar within Shmoneh Esrei. Tayina mehach, the Gemara quotes the Brisa. The Brisa supports this very idea. Kishu sham ana. When one hears a shofar shaman ala seder, he does it with, he has to do it in the specific order, as we already laid out earlier, ve'al seder brachos. And doing it also within the context, within the framework of Shmoneh Esrei, by medvar mamorim. But then the Brisa immediately qualifies bechavir. That's only when you're davening b'tzibur. But if you're not davening b'tzibur, shaman ala seder v'shalo al seder brachos. So certainly shofar blowing has to be done in the order that we described, tkiya, shua, tkiya, but not within the framework of Shmoneh Esrei. V'yachish lo taka. Now if you have an individual who didn't blow shofar, chaver tokei lo. So you can have somebody blowing shofar for him. V'yachish lo birech. Now as far as an individual who didn't daven Shmoneh Esrei, ein chavero mevarech alav. You can't have someone davening Shmoneh Esrei for you. Meaning one individual cannot be davening for another individual. O mitzvah betoking yoser min hamevarchim. It's a larger mitzvah to blow shofar than it is to daven on Shmoneh Esrei. Ketzad. Just to put this in practice, what would that mean? In other words, obviously, if you can, you should obviously do both. So what are we doing giving precedence or priority to one over the other? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Let's say you have two cities. Be'echaz token, be'echaz mevarchim. Now it happens to be that in one city, they're going to be blowing shofar, but they're not davening. For whatever reason, the Gemara is just simply here to make a point. And then, v'achas mevarchim. And then in another city, so they're davening, but they're not blowing shofar. So, hochen lamakum shetokim, ein hochen lamakum shemevarchim. So here now, you have to triage, you have to make a decision. So the decision is they're going to be going to the community where they blow shofar, not to the community where they're going to be davening. So pshita, the Gemara says, okay, at this point in time, okay, granted that we've learned something, but the truth of the matter is it seems to be something really obvious. Hadaraisa hadarabanan. The mitzvah of shofar is a mitzvah daraisa. The mitzvah of the daven is a mitzvah midarabanan. So given that my choices are now between the daraisa and the rabanan, so obviously we're going to opt with the daraisa over that of the rabanan. And what exactly is the braisa teaching us that we on our own would not have figured out? So the Gemara says, lo tzricha da'afagav, da'avad va'safek. So the Gemara says, well, we can introduce the following chiddush. Let us suggest over here that it's not just a simple choice of either hearing shofar or davening with the davening the Shmoneh Esrei, but it could very well be that the blowing of the shofar is not bevadai. It's not done definitively. That means to say that we think they're going to be blowing shofar in that town. We're not 100% sure. So now it's a suffix on a mitzvah daraisa versus a vadai on a mitzvah derabanan, and that is Shmoneh Esrei. So given those choices, so still, now we're saying a chiddush, still it would be the correct decision to go to the suffik d'araisa rather than to the vade derabanan. That's what we would call a chiddush. Continuing in the Gemara, k'shem sheshalach sheshir sibur chayev, kol yachav yachav chayev. Okay, we're going back to the Mishnah. Now we're at the end of the Mishnah. At the end of the explanation of the Mishnah, in which the Mishnah outlines that a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel, vis-a-vis whether or not individuals have an obligation to daven, or should it just be the Shlech Sibur. The Chacham and Tanakhama, the Mishnah says that it's an obligation in everyone, meaning despite the fact that Shlech Sibur is going to be daven Shmoneh Esrei in public, in front of everyone, nevertheless, there still is an obligation for every individual to daven. Now, of course, this is exactly how it looks every time we go to shul. We daven our silent Shmoneh Esrei individually, and then afterwards, the Shliach Tzibur goes ahead and says it for everyone. He does a communal Shmoneh Esrei. So this is intuitive to us only because it's what we do every single time we go to shul. So, and meanwhile, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel argued, Rabbi Gamliel said no. He says the Shliach Tzibur can be motzi everybody, and there is no obligation on the individuals. In the context of having Shliach Tzibur. So over here in the Gemara, we're going to get a little more explanation as we get a little bit of dialogue between the shitas of the Chacham and Rabbi Gamliel. Tanya. So the Gemara opens up now with the Braisa, giving us just a little bit more information. So they ask Rabbi Gamliel a really simple question, which is, why is there a silent Shmoneh Esrei? meaning if the Shliach Tzibur is going to be davening Shema Esrei on behalf of everybody, and once that happens, there is no individual obligation to daven Shema Esrei. So then, new, when you go to Shul, so how come everyone's davening silently beforehand? And Rami Gamliel is agreeing with the practice that the individuals are davening Shema Esrei beforehand. So now the question begs, why should that be? So Amar Lahem, so his response, Kedei La'asdir Shliach Tzibur Tfilaso. Basically, it'll give the Shliach Tzibur a chance to prepare. Really fascinating answer, in that what Rabbi Gamliel seems to be answering over here is that be'etzem, fundamentally, there is no obligation for individuals to daven. The Shliach Tzibur is going to take care of everyone's obligation. Nevertheless, we want to buy some time for the Shliach Tzibur, so therefore we'll have everyone daven Esan Shmon Esrei. It'll buy some time for the Shliach Tzibur. Really a remarkable answer, and one that definitely needs more explanation. How could it be that we're going to be asking everyone in the shul to daven and say brachas, and meanwhile they're not really required to do so, and they're only doing so just to stall some time for the Shliach Tzibur? So that really is an amazing answer, and it definitely requires more clarification. Anyway, we're going to go on. So Amar Lahem Rami Gamliel. So Rami Gamliel says in response back to the Chachamim, Devrechem, according to you, Lama Shliach Tzibur Yoru Lifnei HaTeva. I don't understand. Why do you have a Shliach Tzibur at all? Meaning if everyone's davening their own Shmona Esrei, so then everyone fulfilled their obligation. What would be the point of a Shliach Tzibur? Amar Lo, the response that the Chacham gave back to Rabbi Gamliel is Kedei Lahotzi Shena Baki. Well, there's going to be people in the shul who don't know how to daven. They don't have a background. And so therefore, they're going to need somebody to daven on their behalf. So you have the Shliach Tzibur doing so. So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Gamliel says to the Chacham, okay, so basically what I just did is I trapped you. So Kishem Shemotzi Shena Baki, Kach Motzi Sabaki. Oh, so you're agreeing with me that the Shmona Esrei of the Shliach Tzibur functions as a way of being mostly other people, discharges everyone's obligations. So everybody, of course, is everybody, both the people who know how to daven Shmona Esrei and the people who don't know how to daven Shmona Esrei. So basically, Rabbi Gamliel says to the Chachamim, you're agreeing with me that the basic goal is to be mostly. So at that point in time, it should be mostly everybody. The Gemara now is going to comment a little bit on the back and forth between the Chacham and Rami Gamliel. So in the Braisa, so we had a lot more dialogue than what was given to us in the Mishnah. In fact, in the Mishnah, we had no dialogue. And here in the Braisa, a good amount of dialogue between the two. And in the end, Rami Gamliel got in the last word. So now the Amoraim are going to be commenting as to whether or not the Chachamim still are arguing with Rami Gamliel. Amar, Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Moedim Chachamim Rami Gamliel. Eventually, the Chachamim yielded to the position of Rami Gamliel. Rav Amar Adayin Hi Machlokas, and Rav disagrees. And Rav says that, no, there still remains a Machlokas between Rami Gamliel and the Chachamim. And Shama Rabbi Chia Berei, the Rav Bar Nachmeni, also Amar L'Shmai to come into Rabbi Dimi Bar Chinana. So after Rabbi Chia overheard what Rav Yochanan said, so he went and he said in front of Rav Dimi, Amar Lei. So Rav Dimi said to him, Hakamar Rav. He quotes Rav and he says, Adaini Machlokas. No, there is no agreement between them. The Chachamim still argue with Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Lei, Rabba Barchana, Nami Hafi Kamar. He said that according to Rav Yochanan, according to Rabbi Bar Bachana, Rav Yochanan also said this. So, ki amar Rav Yochanan lahashmaita, when Rav Yochanan would go over this particular sugya, if legal Reish Lakish, so Reish Lakish reacted, and reacted strongly. V'amar adayin machlokas, and he says, no, Reish Lakish says to his brother-in-law, still is a machlokas, meaning Rav Yochanan reports that there was agreement. And Reish Lakish says, no, it's not true. Chachamim still argue with Rami Gamliel. So what do we have right now? So we have it that according to Rav Yochanan, there is agreement that the Chachamim ended up yielding to Rabbi Gamliel, and then that means to say that the that fundamentally the Shliach Tzibur's Shmona Esrei can be motzi everybody in shul, both the Bekim and the Einam Bekim, and there really is no. Is no obligation maker. It didn't that the people be davening Shmona Esrei. Once they have a Shliach Tzibur is going to be davening, he's going to be motzi everybody. Just going back to the dialogue. So then why do we have people davening silent Shmona Esrei? So according to Rami Gamliel, it's just simply to buy time for the Shliach Tzibur to be ready. Okay. But right now, what we are deliberating, we are litigating, is to whether or not the Chachamim ended up yielding to the position of Rabbi Gamliel. So Machlok is amongst the Amoraim. We now have it that according to Rabbi Yochanan, so the Chachamim conceded the point to Rabbi Gamliel, and according to Rav, there's no concession, and they're still debating. So Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, after the Gemara wants to know, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Rama Rabbi Chana Tzipora Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hilchus Rabbi Gamliel Hilchus Amichal De Pligi. Now we do have a tradition that is the Rabbi Yochanan Paskins like Rabbi Gamliel. Now if you're Paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, obviously it means that you're of the position that there is a debate, and then you have to choose a side. But by virtue of the fact that we're choosing a side, that by definition means that there was a debate. So we're a little bit confused as to the position of Rav Yochanan. The Gemara continues. Ki salag Rabbi Abba miyamai pirsha. Rabbi Abba came from a trip, a boat trip. He was out in the ocean, and when he came back, he explained. And he says, Modim chachamim l'Rabbi Gamliel, that the chachamim agreed to Rabbi Gamliel, v'brachas Rosh Hashanah v'shay Yom Kippurim. So as far as the brachas of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur concerned, meaning the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so agreement, meaning that the Sheikh Sibur could be mostly everyone. V'alach ha-mechlal de-pligi. Now as far as the next statement, which is that the halacha goes like Rabbi Gamliel, meaning that there's disagreement, so that's by brachas of Chol Hashanah, that's by the Shemoneh Esrei the rest of the year. And the difference between the two, the Gemara is going to spell out in just a moment. Eni, the Gemara says, now wait one second. Are you right? V'ham Rabbi Chana Tzipora, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Alach Rav Gamliel, Bebrach Hashem Rosh Hashanah, V'shem Yom Kippurim. So we have a tradition that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he says Alach, it's like Rav Gamliel, regarding the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. And again, Yom Kippur over here means Yom Kippur of Yovel. But anyway, the Halach is like Rav Gamliel, which means what? It means that there's a Machlokis, and we're going to Paskin, and we're going to Paskin like Rav Gamliel. But that means to say that there's a Machlokis, and we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. So Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're trying to make shalom between all the statements of Rav Yochanan. So man modim, so the Gemara now wants to know that when we say that Rav Yochanan, that according to Rav Yochanan there was concession, that somebody conceded to Rav Gamliel, so that's Rabbi Meir. So it's Rabbi Meir. Now granted, we have not introduced ourselves yet to the position of Rabbi Meir, but it is the Shita Rabbi Meir. And then to say that the halacha is following Rabbi Gamliel, meaning that there is no concession and there still is an argument on what point. So that's Rabbanan. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Now in this Braisa, we're going to be introduced to the sheet of Rabbi Meir. So we learned in this Braisa, Brachos of Rosh Hashanah v'shal Yom Kippur. As far as the Brachos of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur concerned, Sheikh Sibra Motzi Aramim, Yidei Chavasim. So there the Sheikh Sibra is going to be Motzi everybody. Div Rabbi Meir, sheet is Rabbi Meir. And the Chachamim say no. Sheikh Sibur is obligated to daven. Every individual is obligated to daven. Okay. Maishna, honey, fine. So where do we stand right now? So we have Rav Yochanan who does seem to have disparate statements, but the Gemara says the disparate statements can be smoothed over. It's just a question now of who we're speaking relative to. If we're talking about Rabbi Gamliel relative to Rabbi Meir, so eventually Rabbi Meir agrees to Rabbi Gamliel. That's the ultimate reconciliation. As far as who disagrees with Rabbi Gamliel and continues to disagree with Rabbi Gamliel, so that's the Chachamim. That's where we stand right now in Maishna Hani. So the Gemara now wants to know, okay, good. So let's see if we can understand this well. Meaning we're making some sort of distinction between Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah versus the Shemoneh Esrei the rest of the year. So Elam and Mishum didn't fish a crime. Well, maybe it has to do with the fact that the Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, so there are a lot of psukim. And since there are so many psukim, so it's going to be very hard for everyone to expect to be saying all the psukim. So maybe that's the reason why in Rosh Hashanah we're going to be lenient and allow the Sheikh Sibur to be most everybody. The Amar Rav Chanana, Amar Rav, Kevin Shamar Vesor, Secha, Kazulimor, Shuvan and Sarach, the Gemara says, but meanwhile, we have a tradition by Rav Chanana, who says, B'Shem Rav, that if you, seemingly the Sheikh Sibur, or anyone who's having Shemoneh Esrei, instead of going through all the psukim, you say that Uvasar is Chakas of Lemur, so you just simply say that, look, where am I going to find psukim and machios? Open up a Torah. And as long as you say that, so Bidi Eva, you're Yotze. So it's not ideal, but Bidi Eva, you're going to be Yotze if you say that. So now, if the whole distinction between a Shmoneh Esrei versus Shoshana versus the rest of the Shmoneh Esrei is due to the fact that it's an unfair expectation to know all the psukim. But you don't have to say all the psukim. So the Gemara says, Ela Mishum da Avshei Bracha. So the Gemara says, okay. So really what's at the heart over here is that the brachas are just simply so long. And since the brachas are so long, so it's onerous to have everybody responsible to say the brachas. Obviously, nowadays we have machzorim, we can just simply read the words. In fact, it's exactly what we do. But back in the good old days, when the davening was expected to be memorized, so it would just simply be a significant burden for every single person to have the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah committed to memory. So under those circumstances, so at least according to Rav Yochanan, so eventually there was agreement that on the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, so that could be said by the Sheikh Sibor, and fundamentally, people don't have to say it. Gufa Amar of Chanan Amar Rav, the Gemara now wants to go back to this point, Kemesh Amar V'Zor Eschakos of Lemor Shoven Etzarech, the point that you don't have to go through all the psukim, you just simply say, see the Torah. So Savraminam, so they thought, meaning the Bnei Yeshiva, Hani Milibiyachid, that's talking about an individual. So Avabit Sibor Lo, but not if you're Shliach Sibor, meaning you can't get away with this if you're Shliach Sibor. So Amri Rav Shua Malevi, Echad Yachid Bechad Sibor, Kemish Amar Vesor Eschakos of Lemor, and Shuvin Etzarech. And Rav Yeshua Malevi's Mechadish, that no, that even as a Shliach Sibor who would like to just simply say, take a look at the footnotes, meaning not actually go through the psukim, but just simply reference that you can find the psukim in the Torah. So b'diavad you would say. Again, it's not ideal, but at least b'diavad it would work. Amar Rabbi Elazar lo lemiyasir admim tefilaso v'achachach yispalo. Rabbi Elazar says that it is incumbent upon the Sheikh Sibor that he be prepared, that he go over the davening, go over exactly what he's going to say, then and only then can he daven. And that's, it's a requirement, meaning that you can't just simply go in with no warm-ups and no prep. You need to prep before you daven for the Amen. Amar Rabbi Abin Mistabri Milsa de Rabbi Elazar Rebach Shavu Rosh Hashanah V'Shiyam Mekipurim V'Shal Prakim. That's true if you're going to be davening something like the Shmoneh Esrei for Rosh Hashanah, the Shmoneh Esrei for Yom Kippur, the Shmoneh Esrei for Yantav. That's what's called Prakim over here. So under those circumstances where the Nusach is a little bit challenging, so then I understand about the Chol Hashanah Lo. But if you're talking about just a standard Nusach year-round, no need. No need for the preparation. Meaning, obviously, it'd be better if you're prepared. And it goes without saying that if your articulation needs some work, so for sure you should work on it. But the basic assumption of the Gemara is that this is something that we do all the time, and therefore does not need special preparation prior to the Sheikh Sibor going up to the Amud. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, Rav Yehuda. So when he would daven for the Amud, so he would put a lot of time in preparation prior to doing so. And the Gemara says, now we just learned that if we're talking about a regular weekday Shmoneh Esrei, there's no need to do so. And the Gemara is assuming, of course, here that we're talking about a regular weekday Shmoneh Esrei. So Shani Rav Yehuda, Kevin Demetalti Yom, Letalti Yom, and Havai Matzlei, Keprakim Dami. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rav Yehuda is different because he only daven once every 30 days. Now, hopefully, as you're hearing this, so you're going to react with a little bit of shock. He did what? He daven only once every 30 days? So yeah, we read the Gemara correctly. We understood the Gemara correctly. He davened only once every 30 days. So how did that come to be? So we know that there's an obligation to daven every single day. Whether you hold like the Rambam, it's the Reis, or whether they hold like the Ramban, it's the Rabbanim, but certainly to daven every single day is a requirement, and not just every single day, but three times a day. So how is it that Rav Yehuda only daven once every 30 days? So what we have to say over here is that really he is fundamentally required to daven every single day, but something took him away from the davening. What took him away from the davening? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes that his learning took him away from davening. Rashi writes, I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Obviously, this is a really critical point over here. So mitalsin latalsin shayim echazer tomado kol shoshim yom. So Rashi says that what he would do is he would chazer all of his learning every 30 days. Took him 30 days to chazer all of his learning. Okay, so whatever constituted his learning, meaning however he organized it, it took 30 days for him to go over it. So basically Talmud Torah. So if you're engaged in Talmud Torah, so then you're going to be exempt for Shmoneh Esrei. Now I say that, but knowing full well that's a gross oversimplification, right? The vast majority of people need to be davening Shmoneh Esrei, even if they're engaged in the study of Torah. Rav Yehuda over here was a tremendous masmid, meaning the idea that he that he was learning for 30 days straight. So it means that he was learning 30 days straight, meaning that's really the definition of asmada. Right, nowadays, so you have a boy, or not even a boy, you have one of us. So we're learning for an hour straight, and good. So that's unbelievable. In other words, we learn for an hour straight, uninterrupted. So, but good. That's and it is good. But meanwhile, in terms of a real definition of what Hasmad is, so we could just simply look at Rav Yehuda as a model of what Hasmad is: 30 uninterrupted days of learning. Under those circumstances, so then you do in fact an exemption from having to daven. Continuing in the Gemara, so just to wrap up the Gemara's answer. So since he davened so irregularly, meaning once every 30 days, so he's going to be Masadar. So in other words, he's going to put his tefillah together before davening Tiyamud, because for him, davening was in such a daily event. Amar Vacha Baravir, Amar Shimon Chasida, Potei Rabbi Gamliel, Afilo Am Shebesada. So people not going to shul on Rosh Hashanah. So is the Sheikh Sibra's tefillah going to work for them as well? So Rabbi Gamliel says, absolutely. Sheikh Sibra is going to be mostly the obligation to daven of the people who are out in the field. Now, in a moment, we're going to clarify what are they doing out in the field. Now, we're not just talking about the people in the shul. Adarabah. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You just told me that the Sheikh Sibra Shmoneh Esrei is going to be efficacious for the people out in the field. And it goes without saying that it's going to be efficacious for the people also in shul. The Gemara says, Adarabah. Well, if you think about it, you can go in the exact opposite direction. The people on the field, so they're honest, meaning they're working. Just as a point of clarification, when we say they're working, right, it's nearly impossible to imagine that we're talking about where they're working on Rosh Hashanah. In other words, we're going to assume that there is a modicum of observance over here. And so the people that we are davening on behalf of are not people that are actually working on Rosh Hashanah, but rather, it just simply means that their job is out in the field. It means that for them to be able to come to town and to come to shul on Rosh Hashanah is just too much of a burden. So they are Am Shebesados in the simple fact that they just simply can't make it to shul on time. But not that they're actually working on Rosh Hashanah. I think that's a really straightforward and probably the correct shot of the Gemara. So the Gemara is saying like this, that when it comes to the people, Am Shebesados, so they're in a state of anus, meaning their job demands that they be in, that they be on the field. And for them to be able to go back into town to go to shul, so that's difficult. So, they're what's called ananas. Mashenkin, if you have people in shul, so that's lo anisi. Those are people that are not anusim, and therefore it is expected, that they should be davening. In fact, the Gemara really likes this distinction. Dini Abba Bered Rabbi Yamin Barachia, Am Shachari Akoanim, Inabachal Bracha. If you decide during Birchas Kohanim that you're not going to be standing in front of the Kohanim in order to receive the bracha, but rather you're going to be standing behind the Kohanim, so that means to say that you are going out of your way to be out of the line of bracha. So under those circumstances, you're not going to be including the bracha, meaning despite the fact you're in shul, and despite the fact you're hearing from the Kohanim, but because of the way you position yourself, so you're not going to be getting credit for having received the bracha from a Kohen. And so over here as well, we can make a distinction that runs counter to what the Gemara just proposed. The Gemara just proposed that according to Rabbi Gamliel, the Shmoneh Esrei of the Sheikh Sibra is going to be efficacious for the people in shul and the people out of shul. And now what the Gemara is proposing is no, only for the people out of shul, not for the people in shul. The people out of shul, so they're honest, but the people in shul, so for them to be in shul and not to be davening, it's tantamount to the people who are turning their back on the Kohanim during Birchas Kohanim. Eliki asked the Rabbin, so the Rabbin says, fine. So what we're going to do now is actually we're going to say it, and now in this more intuitive fashion. Am Rav Yaakov Ra'idi, Am Rav Shimon Chasida, Lo Apad Rav Gamliel, Ela Am Shebesados. Yes, there's an exemption. The exemption is for Am Shebesados. Mishem Dani Sebam, my time, Mishem Dani Sebam Lacha. The reason why is because they're just simply preoccupied with all that work. Aval Bi'ir Lo. But the people living in town, so they're not going to be, they're not going to just simply get a ride. A pass. The Shliach Sibra davening is not going to just simply take care of their own obligations in which they need to daven. And as a result of that, the people that are here, the people that are in the city, who have every right to go, every ability to go to shul. So not only do they have the ability to go to shul, they need to go to shul. And failure to do so, and failure to daven for themselves, simply means that they're not going to be yotzei zayin with the obligation, with the, I'm sorry, with the tefillah of the Sheikh Sibur. Good. Ad kan. Hadron lach yom tov, that's the end of the fourth parak, and obviously the end of the Masechta. Mazel tov to everybody who completed and concluded the Masechta. Let's just do a quick recap of the short daf that we just covered. Contrasting the tekiyos and brachos that are done on a fast day versus the tekiyos and brachos on Rosh Hashanah. And the basic distinction is that the tekiyos and brachos of Shemoneh Esrei are eino ma'akev. Tekiyos and brachos of Rosh Hashanah ma'akev. Gemara goes over the importance and significance of incorporating the tekiyos of Rosh Hashanah into the musaf. Critical, and the Gemara goes over a number of stories that speaks about this critical nature. The Gemara then goes on to say that if you have a choice between davening on Rosh Hashanah or hearing shofar, so hearing shofar is going to take precedence for the simple reason the shofar is a mitzvah d'oraisa, davening is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. The Gemara tried to, not only tried, but successfully ramped up the chiddush over there. We're not going to go over it now in the summary, but anyway, the Gemara added a little bit of sweetener to that chiddush. The Gemara then goes on to describe the machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim in terms of if you have a sheikh zibur davening for the kal, so who's gonna benefit from that? Who gets their obligation taken care of in terms of davening? So according to Rabbi Gamliel, everybody. In fact, according to Rabbi Gamliel, once you have a sheikh zibur, there simply is no requirement for anybody in shul to daven. Again, according to Rabbi Gamliel, they did have a tilas lachash, but the Gemara says, but that was just to simply give the Sheikh Sibur a little bit of time to put himself together and to organize his thoughts in terms of how he's going to be davening. Masha'enken, according to the Chachamim, there is a bona fide obligation on the kol yachiv yachiv for every individual. Yes, it's true that there's a Sheikh Sibur. Yes, it's true he's going to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, but that's only for the people who are einan bekiyan. We saw the Mishnah, we saw the Brice, to give us a little bit more dialogue between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. And then for the remainder of today's daf, we discussed whether or not the Chachamim ended up conceding to Rabbi Gamliel and his point. Various opinions amongst the Amoraim, the Gemara did not have a definitive conclusion. Although on the top of Lamed Ham and Aleph, so the Gemara did in fact propose that maybe Rabbi Gamliel had one Tana concede to his position, notably Reb Meir, and maybe the Chachamim themselves did not concede to his position, and the Gemara made such a suggestion. The Gemara also pointed out that instead of saying all the psukim in your Musaf for Rosh Hashanah, so you could just simply say, reference the Torah, take a look at the Torah, we're going to find all the psukim there. It's not ideal. In other words, ideally, one should be saying all the psukim, but to just simply reference the Torah. So our Gemara says that's going to be sufficient. Not only is that sufficient for a Tulas Yachid, it's also going to be good for a Tulas Yibur as well. And finally, the Gemara concluded with this requirement of organizing your Tulas before davening for the Amun. So the Gemara says certainly that's true for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippur, and for Yom Tov, where the Tulas over there are slightly longer, slightly more unusual. But vis-a-vis the regular Shemoneh Esrei of a regular weekday, so there's no such requirement. The Gemara noted that Rav Yehuda, in fact, was Mesadeh, but Rav Yehuda is a special circumstance, most unusual circumstance. He only davened once a month. And finally, the Gemara concluded, as we just finished up wrapping up the summary, in terms of according to Rabbi Gamliel, where the tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur is in fact efficacious for people who have a daven. Are we talking about the people out in the field? Or are we talking about even the people in the shul itself? Gemara brings down two versions of what Rabbi Gamliel would say. The version the Gemara ended up landing on is that according to Rabbi Gamliel, so the Shliach Tzibur Shemoneh Esrei is going to be efficacious for the people out in the field, people who could not made it to shul on Rosh Hashanah. But meanwhile, the people who are in shul and have the opportunity to daven, so they must daven, and they can't just simply piggyback on the Shemoneh Esrei of the Sheikh Sibur.